Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Familiar scripture. Kind of use this as a jumping off point here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When you get your Bible open to there, just say amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the last lesson I was sharing, when you look at that, we know, I'm just kind of just refreshing a little bit here, we know from Genesis 1:27, we're made in the image and likeness of God. He is a spirit, John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he's a spirit, we live, and we're a spirit because we're made in his image and likeness. We live in this body and we have a soul. And we said this spirit, once it becomes brand new, once we become in Christ, we contact God through our spirit. We contact spiritual things through our spirit. And so here, when you look at this scripture, when Paul's writing this, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he, who's he? Well, it's certainly not, he's talking about the real he. The real person is his spirit. And that's really the thing he's saying here. He is a new creature. Who's the new creature? Your spirit. Certainly can't be your body. If you were fat, you're still fat. If you were skinny, you're still skinny. If you were short, you're still short. You maybe want to be tall, but you're still short. Right? Can't be your soul. Because the scriptures say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your spirit is brand new, but your mind wasn't. Your soul was not made brand new. Neither was your body. So he's talking about is the spirit, the new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Some of the other translations, the Phillips, it says, if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. That's the spirit. Amen. Or your spirit. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Hallelujah. So here, you're not just a forgiven sinner, you're a brand new creature. That means God looks at you through Christ. He looks at you through the blood, through the cross. You're redeemed, washed in the blood of Jesus. You're brand new. The devil has no access to your spirit. But he has access to your soul. And that's why God, in his word, has said to us we need to renew our minds. Because if we don't renew our minds, and I, you know, we were sharing this the past Sunday, some of us need to be introduced to ourselves through the word. We need to be introduced to who you are. You're a brand new person. You need to know who you are. So you need to be introduced. First off, you need to see, who am I? Well, you're introduced through the word, right? Here's the in him, in Christ. That's who you are. That's the new person. And so here you can see that God has wiped the slate clean. He sees us through the blood. He sees as if we've never done anything wrong. We're brand new. I'm a new creature. Hallelujah. In Christ. This is what we were talking about. Hallelujah. I remember when I was putting these notes together, I think about some of these old songs we used to sing. I have the life of God in me. I have the life of God in me. I have his life, his nature, and his ability. I have the life of God in me. Those little things, you know, we used to sing, I call them those little ditties like that, but those were confessions. You just sing, you walk around the house, I have the life of God in me. I have the life of God in me. I have his life. I have his nature. And I have his ability. I have his life living in me. Hallelujah. I've got his life in me. No more down days. Glory to God. So we can see here, we were looking at some other scriptures, but John 5:26, it says, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." So just as the Father, again, hath life in himself, he gave that to the Son. And what did the Son do? When it says here, "I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly." So the minute we, the very second we ask Christ to come into our heart, this life that the Father gave to the Son imparted that life to us, which is what 1 John 1:1 talks about. Amen. So I wanted to pick up again tonight here. Well, let me read these two other scriptures here, which are part of this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we can see here from the Bible that there are three parts and they're separate. So we can see here that the soul and the spirit are not one. That was the point here. That your soul and your spirit are not the same. Remember what we've heard in past lessons? Your spirit contacts the spiritual realm. Your soul or your mind contacts the intellectual realm or the emotional realm, and your body contacts this physical realm. So your spirit is off limits to the devil. He has no access to that, but he has access to your soul and your emotions. And of course, if you've heard anything that Brother Hagin teach through the years, he would see into the spirit. He'd see things and God, when God showed him, and he talked about seeing individuals that entertained thoughts. He talked about this one lady who entertained a thought, and she ultimately turned her back on Christ. I don't know how you do that, but she did. And what he began to share was that she had already been in ministry. Like in Hebrews 6, she tasted of the heavenly gift. She tasted of the Word of God. And she knew, and she still turned her back. She began to entertain some thoughts, and she cast it down at first. And then it came back, and she entertained it. And she cast it down, and then she began to entertain it. And he said the Lord showed him that this thought, he said it looked like a little black dot in her mind. And it moved from here down into her heart. And he said when it moved down into her heart, he said she rejected Christ. And the Lord said, "Don't pray for her." See, God won't override your will. See, so once somebody have you ever talked to somebody and you just want to convince them about something and they've already made up their mind? Can you convince them? No. So you can't override a person's will. And the same thing, God will not override a person's will. So if a person has entertained a thought and keeps embracing that, God may send someone, he may even help in some ways, but he can't make you think another way. He won't make you change your thoughts. That's why he's given us the Word. Right? We have to make a choice to feed on the Word and let it change our minds or restore our minds, renew our minds. Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of" what? Soul and spirit. So they're not the same. There's a difference. And we can see here, and it continues, "and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So we can see here that We just the same way that you cannot biblically say, if somebody says the soul and the spirit are the same, you can go right here in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and say, no, that 5:23, that's not true. And you can go right here in Hebrews 4:12 and show them that's not true. The spirit and the soul are not the same. And it's good to be able to identify the difference between the two. Your soul contacts the intellectual realm, and it contacts this emotional realm. Same thing. Even Brother Hagin writes in some of his writings, he said, you know, the church world got off into, and some did, on inner healings. And he said that was not biblical. And people talking about people had inner healings. He said, no, he said that was emotional. He said, because you're already healed. Your spirit has been made brand new. So you can't be healed inner. It's your soul that has to be restored. It has to be renewed. There's an emotional side of you that has to be restored and renewed. If you've been hurt, you've been done something in your life, or something has caused some damage in a person, it's not the spirit. The spirit is a brand new creature. So how could there be inner healing? See, it's off. It's not biblical. And people that want to get over in that, he writes in some of his writings, he said, they've brought some psychology into the church. And psychology is more when we're dealing with the emotional realm, right? And that's brought that in, and it's corrupted the gospel in that sense. So there is no inner healing. You're already healed. Your spirit's brand new. It's been recreated. But your soul has to be renewed and restored. You see, what? Your emotions. Emotional things that have happened have to be renewed, have to be restored. Amen. Glory to God. So what I want to look at tonight is looking at this being engrafted into Christ. And I like this here, and we look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Amplified translation says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. I'm reading from the Amplified translation. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Now, Galatians, let's look at Galatians 2:20. Give you a second to turn over there. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I want to talk about being grafted, or you could say engrafted or grafted. And this will become clear. We'll go back and look at these scriptures, because when you look at it from a natural standpoint, you're going to see some revelation here. This is the Blackwelder, not the Marty Blackwelder translation, but this is the Blackwelder translation, that's what they call it. It says, for you died, well, let me read it in the King James. For you are dead, actually, let me go over here, Colossians, and let's read, this is Colossians 3, and let's read verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4. Colossians 3, it says, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, do what? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Then it goes on, mortify your members, therefore your members. Let me read this in the Blackwelder translation. It's in verse 3. It says, for you died in your identification with his death. Isn't that interesting? You died in your identification with his death, and your life, which is the result of his resurrection, is hidden with Christ in God. This is the Amplified. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. Now listen to the Living Bible. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ in God. I'll tell you, I had to sit down and just meditate on that for a second, because let me read it again. Let it sink in. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. I'll tell you, that's some growing for all of us, even me. How much desire do you have for this world? That begins to reflect on what our thoughts are about Christ and the life that's in us. It says, you are dead in the King James, right? Isn't that what it says? For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So if you're dead, you should have no, what does it say? No, little desire, as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Wow. So it begins to put some things in perspective, because that's exactly what it says in verse 2. Set your affections on what? Things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affections. Why? Because my heart's been changed. But what happens? If I don't get this mind renewed, if I don't get it renewed, my heart may want to, but my mind is saying, we want to do this. So the mind and the soul keep dragging us into the affections that we have for this world, because this mind has not been renewed. To do what? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, you never will. You will never set your affections on things above if you don't have your mind being renewed, even though your heart's been changed. See? So with looking at it, you'll never step into your rightful place in Christ. You'll never walk in your rightful place in Christ if you don't get your mind renewed. And that's a constant thing, constantly. That's exactly what Joshua 1:8 talks about. Right? Letting not this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, and do it. But let me just read this here. I'm going to just read some thoughts about grafting, and this is not a science lesson, but I just want to look at this from grafting, just some definitions. It'll help us. As I was saying before, a horticulturist is someone who knows the science behind different plants and flowers. So it's not just, it's a little more in-depth. So they know how to graft, which is what my father did. I thought it was just crazy. But anyways, I saw grafting. It was a graft science lab. That's all I saw when I was growing up. Anyways, grafting, this is a definition. A graft is a bud or shoot inserted into a groove. This is what I saw growing up as a kid. It's inserted into a groove, a slit, or the like in a stem or stalk of another plant in which it continues to grow. So anybody have seen that, you'll take a, it basically takes a cut, a similar cut, so it either can be on an angle, you'll see an angle, and you'll see another cut and an angle, and they'll put the two together like this and wrap it, that's one way, or they put a slit and they drop that into the slit and they wrap it. Now, that being said, this is something I read. I'm just acknowledge Mark Hankins' something he wrote here. He talks about grafting. He said the stock of the plant must be cut with the same identical wound as the branch in order for the two to grow together. There has to be the same identical cut. Isn't that interesting? When there's a graft. So, then you must put that branch inside of the open wound of the plant and wrap them together and they will become one. We have been engrafted into Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. On the cross, Jesus was wounded with our identical condition, and we were placed in him. This is a statement he made. There is no grafting without wounding. That's a powerful statement. There is no grafting without wounding, and there has to be identical cuts. So Jesus took our infirmities. He took our wounds. So when you look at Isaiah, it says, surely, Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So there had to be identical wounds. He took our sicknesses. He was wounded for my transgressions. Now, I'm going to read this. This is in Isaiah 53:5. Listen to this. This is the Spurrell translation. We're talking about he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Listen to the Spurrell translation. It says, by his union with us, we are healed. Oh. 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 Who? By his union with us, we are engrafted into him. By that union, we are healed. That's powerful. That's powerful. So by his stripes, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So by this union, by this engrafting or being engrafted into Christ, we've been healed. Isn't that powerful? This life that's in us is the life of Christ. If Christ is in me, then healing is in me. If Christ is in me, deliverance is in me. If Christ is in me, then I have no fear because there's no fear in God. This union has healed me. Hallelujah. So you could say this another way. On the cross, Jesus was wounded with our identical condition. He was wounded with our identical condition. and we were engrafted into his death that we might be one with his resurrection and victory. So he took our, he was bruised with our sicknesses and diseases. We were engrafted. So without any grafting, there has to be identical cuts. He took our sicknesses so that we could take his resurrection life and walk in victory. Which is what John 15:1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch, see, we're talking about branch in me. Every branch in me. We're going to read another scripture in Romans 11. But every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it what? Abide in the vine. Now turn over to Romans 11. Let's take a look at this. Romans chapter 11. And I'm going to start in verse 11. Actually, could read the whole, you know, the whole chapter, but we're not going to for the sake of time. In verse 11, it says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Now, he's talking about the children of Israel here. But he said, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. Thank God. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, he's talking to the Roman, the Gentiles here, And thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root, is what we're talking about in John 15, and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were cut off, were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, he's talking about Israel now, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of the Lord on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not till still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. He's talking about being grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. See, these natural branches, he's talking about, are going to be grafted in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. He's talking about us here. How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, thank God. And it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. So we've been grafted or engrafted into Christ. And because of that, we can see that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Let's go back and look at that again. 2 Corinthians 5. And I guess we'll read it again and read down through 21. So he took, because of this wounding, which he talks about in Isaiah, he took our guilt, he took our shame, he took our sickness, he took the curse for us. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or counting, you could say, their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. So we've been made righteous. I like this in Romans chapter 10. Why don't you turn back over there, Romans chapter 10, and look at verse 11. Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. Says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, this is after Romans 10, 9 and 10, the familiar scriptures, but the 11th verse says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Hallelujah. So there's no shame in Christ. If you look at Romans 8, 1, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to them, what? Who are what? In Christ. In Christ. Why? Because it's no longer I that live. I don't live anymore. I have his life. I have his righteousness. I have his goodness. I have his holiness living in me. There can't be any condemnation. There can't be any shame. There can't be any sickness in my spirit. I've just got to get my mind renewed that I'm redeemed, that I don't have to walk in condemnation. I don't have to walk in fear. I don't have to walk in lack. I don't have to walk in sickness. And as I renew my mind, I begin to walk out the promises of God. I begin to walk as Christ here in the earth, his body. Let's look at one more scripture, verse Colossians 1 and verse 22. Colossians chapter 1. It says, in the body of his flesh, through what? Death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in what? His sight. That's who we are. We're new creatures in Christ. We've been engrafted into Christ. You know, when you think about it, when something's grafted into another plant, if I take a branch and I bring it over into, let's say I'm grafting this branch, which it talks about us being a branch being grafted into what? The vine. I don't carry my own nourishment, do I? Where is it going to get it from? It's going to get it from the root of that tree it's being grafted in. So when I get grafted into something, I'm giving him my old nature, and I'm taking from him the life of Christ, the life of that vine. So no longer I that liveth, but what? Christ lives in me. He lives in me. So it's time to, when thoughts come, every one of us, we've got to fight these thoughts that come. Just like you see, you know, you see things going on in the earth that the devil fights anything that lifts up the name of Jesus or lifts up Christ. And anything that you do, that you represent Christ, they're going to be a fight. Anything that you try to do to walk out the promises of God, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your health, whether it's doing the will of God to reach out to touch nations, there's going to be pressure. There's going to be something pressuring you to say, you can't do that. You can't have that. You'll never have that. And you've got to fight to say, no, no, I am in Christ. It's his life working in me, through me, to do the things that he's promised, right? Do the things that he's called me to do. You've got to, you know, what does it say? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. So there's going to have to be this walking out of the life of Christ in me. We're going to have to let it live in us. We're going to have to let it rise up big in us. And so that's going to become something that we're going to have to do. We're going to have to cast off these thoughts and desires that we have. What did it say? It says we have no business. I like the way that said that. What was that translation again? It said the living Bible, Colossians 3:3. It says you should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Boy, that should be easy to lose weight. Right? or spend money. I mean, I should be able to control myself, because a dead person isn't motivated by its passions, right? So I should be able to control myself, because I'm dead to this world. Amen. Praise God. I hope you think about this. I'm spending more time myself personally reading as much material as I can on being in Christ and grafted in Christ. There, I'll give you another book. You can download this for free. Sometimes when you go to meetings, some of the men and women in God that have gone before us share nuggets. I know when Shekinah Glory comes, they interacted. I know Cindy and a lot of them, Lois, they interact with people that have gone on before us that were powerhouses in God, and they give us books to read, or they'll tell us books to buy. I was at a meeting a couple of years ago, and Mark Hankins, this was at Rhema, I think it was Winter Bible Seminar, he was teaching. And he was referencing some materials by A.J. Gordon. You can go out on the internet, Google it, A.J. Gordon. And he has a book material called In Christ. And you can download it for free. I did. I mean, as soon as he's talking, I'm typing, okay? And I'm downloading all of this stuff off the internet. Some of the most profound revelation on being in Christ. And these are people that have gone on before us. And so I just share that, you know, if you're interested. It's written in some real early English, so you have to kind of wade through it. But the revelation is good, and the insight is tremendous. So A.J. Gordon, and just download it off the internet. And he has other teachings and writings that you can nourish your spirit on. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.